Blog Talk Radio.
Got a little something different for you tonight. Welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Sponsored by Los Angeles Community Police and North End and the National Association of Adult Providers of Child Abuse.
There's joy in knowing what I have found. There's joy in knowing that I'm still around. There's joy in knowing that I still care. Joy in knowing you're still there. Joy in knowing. So glad you're still around. Thanks for sharing, not keeping me down. Something so simple, yet it's so profound. A life to live, a life to give. Your hand held out. Joy the wonder, laugh out loud. No more secrets I've let them out. It's tears from laughter and it's time to shout. There's joy in knowing I'm still around. There's joy in knowing I'm still around. I'm so glad you're still around. Thanks for sharing, not kicking me down. Something so simple, yet it's so profound. A life to live, a life to give. Your hand held out. There's a life to live and a life to give. Your hand held out.
Stop Child Abuse Now show on the Blog Talk Radio Network, sponsored by Los Angeles Community Policing and the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. And that was a little bit different for us. I'd like to welcome, without further ado, my co-host for the evening, Jessica Stevens, to the air. Jessica, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, Bill.
Okay,
hi, MJ.
I want to make sure that that everybody heard that music okay. Did you hear it okay?
Loud and clear.
Okay, and I was trying to talk over the top of the music. Did you hear my introduction over the top of the music? Because I can't tell if it'll let me mix or not.
No, I didn't hear a word.
Okay.
All I heard was music the whole time.
Right, then I'm going to make the assumption that I cannot be heard over the top of the music, and we're just going to listen to the pieces of music in their entirety, which is great. We have several pieces of music lined up for tonight, and a very special guest, Jessica, as you know. We've been waiting for this fellow to join us I guess I'll bring on the air MJ first. Hi, MJ. How are you?
Hi, Bill. Hi, Jess.
Hi, MJ.
And, the sound of the quality was okay for you too, MJ?
Yeah, it was.
Okay,
no,
and you, but you did not hear me talk over the very, very top of the piece.
No,
I
got here just a little late, and all I heard was music.
Okay. Understood. Okay, and finally, let's bring Carl to the party. Hi, Carl. How are you?
Just fine, Bill. The music was fine, but at the beginning, I did hear you try to talk over it, but honestly, the music was louder than you, so it was hard to understand what you were saying. So.
Not a problem. I repeated what I said because I was pretty sure that, there's this software that they give me here is it really is not what it's supposed to be. But we were able to upload several of Michael's songs and we have them all available for playing tonight. So we're going to have to play them without being able to talk over them, but that's okay. We'll talk around them. And I'm going to introduce Michael by way of saying that this is someone that Carl knew from his circle of friends, a male survivor, and but he's got several other things going for him. First of all, if you read the information on the website, and we actually have a nice article I put on the website. If you go to the NASCA.org website, NASCA.org website, and click on the feature under the home button on the feature articles, I placed an article there. The first article that's about Michael Skinner, and if you click on that, it says Feature Stories, Michael Skinner, he's tonight's guest. You can see the description of him. He has a lot of credits, as I said, among them musician, singer, and songwriter, but he's also an advocate for child abuse and mental health abuse and, changes and so forth. He's written a lot of music. He's been in the music industry a long, long time, and he has suffered at the hands of his own family pretty severely, it sounds to me. We're going to find out a little bit more about his story. But of course, the most important part of this is that he found a way to get to deal with it, or he is dealing with, let's put it that way, the story of his young life, and is including many creative things, and we're going to talk a lot about that. We want to talk about the solution more than anything else. But, of course, it's necessary for us to ask our special guest to identify in terms of their childhood story, too. So let me first start by welcoming Michael to the show. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Bill and folks.
And you were able to hear the music okay?
I did. Thank you.
You're the one I'm most concerned about because it's embarrassing to me to, if a piece of music that a songwriter wrote didn't sound okay.
I always go under the assumption of Murphy's Law. You know, stuff happens, and you just learn to deal with it. It was fine.
I got to tell you, Michael, they gave us this new software a few weeks ago, and it is better than the old software, but not by much. It looks better, but it doesn't operate any better. And they have some sliders here for each of the songs. They don't seem to function. I couldn't seem to make them function. I was trying to mix a little bit by giving a little bit of intro over the intro to the song with my voice, and apparently that didn't work. So we'll just play the pieces as needed throughout the show in their entirety, and that's okay with you, right?
Oh, that's fine with me.
Michael, you're a very friendly guy. I had a nice conversation with you last night, and I learned a lot more about you on your websites in between. And as I explained last night, you know, we want to focus on the solution, and you certainly have a lot of solutions to offer here. But by way of helping people identify with the fact that we are a nonprofit organization who's trying to be an umbrella group for many people, including you now, because when you come on the show, you get to be like part of the family after that. And the article on you and the information about you will stay on our site. But we are, you know, we're really, really interested in dealing with prevention, intervention, and recovery from, and especially recovery from, child abuse in the adult years, because we know how many of us, you know, carry the story of our child abuse into our adulthood. So we do need you to share a little bit of your story about your past, and so it'll be a matter of what it was like and then what happened and then what it's like now. And I guess we got to start with what it was like. So without further ado, let me give you a few minutes to let us know how you grew up and what effects it had on you, what kind of feelings you had about that.
Well, I'm on the East Coast. I live in New Hampshire now, but I was born in Boston, Massachusetts, and I lived there and in Cambridge, Mass., which is right next door to Boston, until the age of six. And at that point, my family of origin, we moved up to Billerica, Mass., which is a little, you know, suburban community about 18, 20 miles outside of the city. And I grew up in a, you know, it's a modest working class, middle class town, if you will, neighborhood I lived in. You know, across the street from me was, you know, the fire chief and carpenters, plumbers, you name it. And at that point, I was the oldest that would soon be five siblings, but at that point there was just three of us, four brothers, one sister. And just out of those siblings, there's only three of us left. Two of my brothers have committed suicide. So that's part of, you know, any of the traumas that I've experienced in my life. But the abuse started from both of the parents at an early age. As soon as things I can remember, the things they were doing, and there was, obviously we're talking about child abuse, but it was all the components of, there was emotional, there was physical, and sexual, and they were deviant, they were sadistic, and they were quite brutal. My father had a job, he was head of a maintenance crew for a Harlow Properties in Cambridge, Massachusetts, which was the second largest real estate holding company after Harvard University. So he had a crew and stuff. But he also had another job that he did. He was the guy, and he was a big man. He was the one that would go, if you owed a gambling debt, a loan sharking, and the rest of it, he was the one that put the hurt to you to make sure you paid. So I always felt that I was one of his punching bags of practice, you know, that he did. So, again, the sexual abuse in of itself, and we were passed around to other adults. I was made to do things with other children. I remember pictures being taken. I remember seeing, you know, child pornography in the home. But, you know, obviously there's bits and pieces of it because it's scrambled from the dissociation I was dealing with. That said about my father, I hate this term, mother, and she was equally brutal. It's just, you know, she didn't hurt as hard because, you know, my father physically was stronger. But so it was the two of them, and it really messed me up. And part of it also was, you know, berating me, telling me that I was no good, I was stupid, et cetera, et cetera. And fortunately for myself, I found a release through music. Because originally I wanted to go into the military. Part of my overall plan was to learn everything I could about covert warfare, and I was going to come back and protect children. But part of it was I wanted to kill my parents, and that's something that 9-year-old children shouldn't be thinking about.
No,
so,
of course not. Yeah.
So the abuse was extreme, and it was long, you know, right till my early teen years, and it only stopped when I can't remember what age specifically, but I think it was around 13 or 14 when I was finally able to tell, you know, my mother that she would never touch me again. And then at one point I remember, you know, feeling, you know, brazen. I told the old man that he wasn't going to touch me again, and he proceeded to rape me. So to stop the abuse, I think it was like a year or two later, I got to be blunt, this is how it stopped. I told him if he touched me again, I would kill him. I would, you know, I started carrying knives. So that was my life, and that, you know, I used to barricade the doors, you know, put the chair in front of it, and it was a nightmare. It was long, it was protracted, it didn't stop. It, you know, you never knew what was going to happen. Thank goodness I found release through music, and I was in, you know, I was a darn good drummer, and that's what kept me going. By the time I was 12, I was playing, you know, in teen centers and junior high dances. By the time I was 14, 15, it was junior, you know, the high school dances, and then, you know, started playing in nightclubs at 15 and 16. So I made a living from music, and it was able to keep me grounded and focused. Of course, all during that time, you know, I'm trying to give you a quick, you know, 5-minute spiel to 10-minute spiel on my life, which you can't encapsulate, obviously, but all of it. You know, for many of us who deal with childhood sexual abuse, for myself, I was, you know, very promiscuous, and being in a rock and roll band, that just, you know, was like the kid in the candy store, so to speak. But I didn't, you know, I didn't know any better. It was just confusing. And then it was confusing. And even at a young age, I drank too much. I never did drugs. Fortunately, by the time I was 20, 21, I had cut back the drink. And I can still sit down with a beer, but I don't have drinking problems. But when I was younger, I was masking a lot of pain through drinking. And also, you know, barroom brawls, if you will. So, you know, myself and my siblings were like the poster children when you read all the effects of what, you know, how the childhood abuse affected us, because three of my siblings did deal with addiction problems, you know, with, you know, the cocaine, alcoholism, but it was just myself and my other brother that really abstained from that. So, again, music was good. That kept me going. For myself, a major turning point, you know, when I was 21, was the birth of my oldest daughter, and that helped give me some sense of purpose and reason to life. And that really did start getting me grounded, if you will, to start, and I needed to do more with my life. Now I had someone that I could, you know, I felt good about, because I didn't feel good about myself. And in music, I accomplished a lot of great things. I toured overseas. I was in a really good band and toured all of Great Britain. And, you know, we were doing the same gigs back in 76 and 77 that AC/DC was. So I've had pretty good success in music, but deep inside, I never felt good about myself. But now, birth of my daughter, that really helped turn my life around. Eventually, you know, my girlfriend and I, we became married. We ended up having 5 children, 5 daughters. And at the age of 28, I went into the music business, and that went really well, so I was successful with that. Life was good. You know, I was happily married. I had a great family. My business was very successful. I was making more money than I could have ever envisioned. You know, the wife was able to stay at home. But all those memories and the little snippets of the abuse kept popping up in my head, and I just kept trying to stuff it down. I kept running from it. And being in the music business, it gave me a great excuse to keep running. I could travel all over. I could, you know, get in the car and just go to Toronto, and it was away from, but it was dissociation. I was just always running, and work, I was an extreme workaholic. Eventually, that all came crashing down. So at the age of 39 in January 1993, whether you call it a breakdown or a breakthrough, flashbacks just overwhelmed me, and they would not stop. And it was like it was a continuous movie that I had to watch of my life and all the abuse and all the perversion and everything else. And it just did a number on me. And then this is where now I had to re-experience even more trauma and abuse, if you will, because now I became part of the mental health system. Instead of treating me for the trauma and abuse that I was dealing with, now I was labeled mentally ill. And every time I'd speak or try to share something, it was just another, you know, pill was being shoved down my throat, so to speak. And I basically became a zombie, you know, too many psychiatric drugs, and it was just one too many. After 2 years, my ex, you know, she left me. She wanted nothing to do with it. She, you know, she blamed me. She was angry that this stuff had come up, that life was disrupted. Instead of learning about trauma and depression, you know, she was angry and pissed off that I was supposed to just snap out of it. But those are also the same messages that I was getting from childhood friends who wouldn't have anything to do with me now, and business associates. You know, I couldn't work anymore, so I lost my business. That only made my depression worse. And it just impacted me. And one of the things that was really striking for me back then was how profound and how devastating post-traumatic stress and depression and all that combined, what it did. You know, without being a braggart, I'm a damn good drummer. I've been doing that since the age of 10. But now when I thought, okay, I'll go back to drumming, I couldn't even keep a sense of rhythm, timing. Music just sounded like so much noise. The good news is over a few years, that did come back. And that during this time of great depression and also going through a horrible divorce, I picked up the guitar. This was a childhood dream because I always wanted to play the guitar and sing. So I just kept chipping away at it. And this is, again, this is where, you know, you're traumatized. I remember I would tell, you know, mental health counselors, I want to learn how to play the guitar and I want to go back into music. And how you hear that I was being told that, oh, no, you'll never work again because you're mentally ill, Michael. You'll never be able to work again. So all the mixed messages and then just, you know, how society would just shun you. And I get angry. I get really angry at how I was being mistreated. And then just through networking and being in peer support centers, going to self-help groups, you know, even being, you know, day treatment plans, I would meet other people and I'd get talking to them. And what I found, the majority of the people that were labeled with severely mentally ill issues, and I don't like mental illness word because there's so much stigma and discrimination around, but that's what they were labeled, but I like to say mental health concerns. What I started hearing from these folks was most of them were dealing with severe childhood abuse issues and trauma, and no one was resolving it. So that helped me to fuel my anger. I've always stood up for myself. I've always been a fighter. I started becoming an advocate and learning everything I could about trauma and depression and mental health issues. And I was just, you know, volunteering my time. And soon people would be hearing me. And the next thing I know, they're asking me to present at these different conferences. And now that's part of what I do for a vocation is, you know, public speaking on these issues in my life and how to turn things around. And also combining it with songs. So, and then I've released 3 CDs, and you know, so that I don't want to keep rambling on and on. But that
we're gonna get to that in a second. But let me pause you here, because I would like each of the people that serve as co-hosts and members that call in regularly to have just a moment to comment on what you've said so far, because I'm gonna be shocked if we don't, you know, have an awful lot of identification, those of us that are child abuse victims, in not maybe the facts of what you went through, but certainly all the feelings and the confusion. Because similar to myself, you know, we didn't have anyone save us when we were kids. So we tried to deal with it ourselves. And that became, you know, kind of part of the sickness of our life. The secret of our life was the sickness of our life. And that manifested itself well into our adulthood. So this is often the case, and I just want to bring each of the people on just to briefly make a comment about your story up to this point, if I could. So, Jessica, why don't you, as the co-host of the show, take the first stab at this and say hi to Michael and comment on what you've heard so far.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Welcome to our family.
Well, thank you. Glad to be
a part. You're welcome. I'm listening to your story, and I relate to a lot of what you went through. I guess the difference is that you found your comfort through music, which is something that that I did later on in my teenage years myself, especially when I went on my own. And I totally understand how music just gave you that sense of peace that you were searching for, even if it was just for a little escape. I found that to be a blessing, and it's probably why I still like to write poetry and stuff today. And I want to give you a hug. I really do.
Thank you. Thank you.
I really wish I could just reach out this phone and hug you right now.
Thank you.
Well, Jessica,
I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the energy. Thank you.
Jessica is the co-host on the Stop Child Abuse shows, the Monday through Friday shows, and she also appears on the Sunday show. She's heard all the stories of people who have been special guests and so forth, and she does consider you like part of the family once you come on and you share something like this. So you're stuck with us now, Michael, because that's the way it is.
Trust me, I'm on it. Trust me, I'm on it. I consider this an honor if folks ask
okay.
me to speak, so thank you.
All right, and we're going to ask, we have 2 other people. Why don't we get Carl to chime in next if we could, because Carl and you know each other a little bit. He may be familiar with your story or maybe not, and we'll see what he has to say, comment on up to this point. Carl?
Yeah, Michael, thanks for coming on tonight. We met in Chicago with the Oprah Men Show, but I don't know you very well, but one thing that struck me when you were talking about your story was the idea of running, that you could easily get in a plane and go someplace to Toronto, drive up to Toronto for music, and running from those secrets. And I just so that you don't steal it, just to keep you in mind, remind you here, and I'm telling this to the world that's listening. I've got a rough draft of my autobiography, and it's called Running Without a Finish Line. And I describe my life as being nothing but running for so many, many years till I began to realize that I couldn't keep running from these problems, that I had to face it. And that struck home with me when you mentioned that, the fact that you, for so many years, were able to just run away from the thoughts and the problems and all, but eventually they catch up, unfortunately. And we do have to face them.
No, you're right.
Welcome to the show, and I'm glad you're here. I'll keep listening, and I'm hoping to hear some more of your music, although I have done some research on my own and listened quite a bit already. So, but Bill's got stuff lined up for us to play, so I'm sure we'll all listen to that too.
Thank you, Kyle.
Yeah, the sense of running, I identify with that too. And you know, you can run physically, you can do a geographic, as I call it, meaning change locations. But you can also run inside yourself, and that's probably what people who turn to drugs and alcohol and other kind of obsessive behaviors are doing, maybe sexual behaviors too. They run from themselves because they just can't stand who they are and what they feel like and so forth. And we, you know, I'm sure a lot of us will identify with that too. Even if we didn't have the experience of an international career, you know, when we were younger, we still identify with the fact that we tried to get away at our best we could, however we, you know, whatever was available. So I agree with Carl. That's definitely something I agreed with. And I want to include MJ Goins, who's been dutifully holding on the phone here, and get her comments before we move on. MJ, you there?
Sure am.
All right, MJ.
Like Carl and Jessica, I'd like to welcome Michael. We appreciate so much him taking the time to be a part of our little family. Michael, I myself am not an adult that was abused as a child, but listening to your story, I mean, it just echoes what I have heard from so many people, Bill, Jessica, Carl, and others, you know, the lives that they led of children, as children, and how it has affected them as adults. And it's just so evident that these problems, as we've said, they don't go away. They're with you for a lifetime, and they exhibit themselves in many of the same ways that you're discussing. I mean, we have heard this over and over, and it's just wonderful that you have been able to take those horrible times in your life and now put it towards trying to help somebody else. It's a great thing. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We're going to continue the... Go ahead, Michael. Go ahead, Michael.
You know, none of us can undo what we went through, but I truly believe in all of us, our own little way, we can help be a part of the change, and that is by shows like this. I think it's great that you folks are doing this. So if I can be a part of it, like I said, I'm honored, but this is what's exciting when folks like yourself are doing this and you're reaching out to others and you're bringing on other guests, because we do need to break that silence and the whole shame and stigma that around it, and you know, hopefully with time, I don't see it happening in our lifetime, but you know, maybe in my granddaughter's lifetime, that people will be a little more accepting of this and really start to learn what trauma and abuse, what it really does to a child and how it impacts their development, you know, the brain, it's every part of it, you know, the emotional, the physical, the spiritual, you know, it does a number on us and we pay the price later on, you know. A lot of us, we end up dying earlier because of the physical manifestations, how it hits us, you know, in the heart and everything else. So now I'll be quiet and let some of you folks talk.
No, you're absolutely right, Michael. And you know, we are dedicated at our organization now, which is pretty new, to trying to gather the best of information that we can, kind of all under one roof, because that's one of the things that I have been in recovery a long time, for 25 years. But I also know that there's very little out there for the adult that even for them to know that recovery is possible. That in itself isn't even out there. So, and there's so little out there. We wanted to collect together in an umbrella sort of way everything we could find that was useful, that we believed in, that was legitimate, and so forth. And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit after I play the next song with you about some of the solutions that you've found that involve being creative, because I really think that could be, for a lot of us, you know, a vehicle that we should consider as part of our therapy, or let's say our recovery or our thriving, you know. So that's really, I mean, we're new at this, but we're completely dedicated to it. I plan to spend the rest of my life doing this in one way or another, now that I've gone, you know, public with it. And we want you to join us in any way you can, you know, and we really appreciate your appearance tonight.
Thank you, Bill.
The next thing I want to do, Michael, is play a song that you write, was something that you wrote a long time ago. By the way, Michael's written a lot of music. He has. We have his website at mskinnermusic.com. We also have the nonprofit organization survivingspirit.com on the article that we wrote about you, which is under the feature articles for today's on today's website. So again, it was mskinnermusic.com and survivingspirit.com, and then there's an article under the feature articles of our website. But I want to play next the song that you say you wrote a long time ago, but you couldn't finish because you didn't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you know which song is coming, obviously.
Just why I put a little background on it if you want before you start it.
Sure. Sure, go ahead.
I actually wrote the first verse, chorus, when I was in England back in 1976. And, you know, I was playing with a hard rock band. I was the drummer. And the band kept asking me to finish the song, but I couldn't finish it. So it got shelved. So, because it just kept bringing up too many bad memories and feelings and thoughts and emotions. So I just said, the heck with it. And I wouldn't touch it. But years later... 30 years later, I did finish the song. So,
and among the lyrics are, "I'm sitting here waiting for you to come home. It seems so long. Why did you leave me alone?" It's a lament, right? And the name of the song tells it all. Why?
Yeah.
You know, that's the name of the song. It's off an album called Trains of Tears.
Train of Tears.
And Trains of Tears is the album. The song's title is Why. And without further ado, let me play the song. And we'll all listen to it together, and then we'll rejoin you in a moment. So here it is, Michael Skinner's song, Why, off the album, Trains of Tears.
Spirituality, who we are as a person, and I'm not talking in a religious sense, but just who we are inside, because it just went to the core of who I was as a human being, and I still to this day feel like I was, you know, gutted and left to die. That there's a piece of me that was cut out of me, and it's, you know, it'll always be there. But you know, I think you find ways to heal and move on. But that pain, you know, for myself, it'll always be there.
No, I understand. Let's let Jessica have a moment to chime in. Jessica, you heard the song. What do you think of it?
The song is amazing, and I'll buy you a CD.
Right.
There you go.
Right.
I really did like the song. It's sending out a message, not only to the people who hurt you, but also a message of how you felt, and it's very strong, and I like it a lot. I really do. I liked it a lot.
Thank you.
So there's a good reason for coming on the air too, Michael. We're going to open up the lines in a moment to the public at large, but we're going to go around the horn one more time at least and let any of the people that have called in early get a chance to talk. So Carl would be next if we went in the same order. So Carl, what did you think?
No, I love the music. Like I said, I've listened to quite a bit of it online, gone to YouTube. But you've got a lot of stuff up on YouTube and all. The one thing that I guess maybe this is a direction that you may take as we continue to talk, but how do you, Michael, if I can ask, how do you kind of, how do you incorporate some of this music into, I guess, what do you think music is doing for you in your recovery kind of thing? And when you work with other people, do you work one-on-one with them with music? And are you, I guess I'm kind of open on that end. I'm not sure which direction you take the music with you when you go into the recovery work and whether you work with other people with it.
I do work with other people. I've worked one-on-one with, mentor to teens and also adults. But basically, music, you know, poetry, art, we're all telling a story, and I just encourage folks to tell their story. But 99% of the time, I'm performing these songs in front of a public, you know, and it can be a group as small as 10 to 20, 30, 40 people. I have presented in front of rooms full of 700-800 people. One, the largest, was 1,200 people. So, again, I look at the conference, what the event is about, or the workshop, and what they're looking for. So something like Why, I don't do that song all the time. Something that was played earlier, Joy, because that's also showing, you know, there's joy. There, you know, we do heal. Life does get better. So if you think of when I'm sharing my story, I'm sharing songs that sort of parallel that to make sense, because, you know, music has a way of touching us a lot more than just words. So if I use Why in the beginning of a presentation, you know, please know that there's a natural progression. I'm also going to start tapping into my songs that I would say a little more uplifting, more positive, even though at the end of Why I'm saying, I know now it wasn't me. What you two did was evil and mean. So I'm, you know, putting it back on them. So everything that I do is still positive. I'm still coming to that point, but so there's a progression in how I use the songs, Carl. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, we're going to bring this up in a bit again, because we want to talk about the nonprofit organization that you're involved in the next segment, and that does involve not just music but art of all different kinds. And you're one of many artists that serve as part of the board and try and steer this group. To encourage people to express themselves in whatever creative way they can. And we're going to get into that in a moment. But I like you, have tried to, you know, I have a series of songs, tried to put them down in a certain order. And the next one I'm going to play, I'm not going to spend any time waiting on this one, because this is, we're kind of on the journey of your life, if you will. The why question maybe was the early thing. And then the next song I'm going to play is a song from the title song of the album Pirates.
Right.
And to me, it's about making choices, and you're talking about, you know, how those choices, you know, depending on the choices you make, the steerage of the ship, you know, will depend. You'll either be on a storm-tossed sea or not, you know. So anyway, the next song is the song Pirates, and he's going to talk about you can still feel the wind and the waves at your hand, and you'll enjoy these lyrics too. But again, it's still we're working up to really the solution. This is part of the solution, though, making the right choices. So without further ado, if that's okay with an introduction, Michael.
That's great. You definitely listened. You get it. Thank you.
You're welcome. We're going to play the third song from Michael, and this one is from the album Pirates, and it is the title song, Pirates.
Your hands, have your hands.
card ends with the admonition, before you set sail, remember why you chose to leave this place. And, of course, the song begins with choosing the right ship. And then once you're on the high seas, make sure you throw caution to the wind, but position your ship so the sun shines in the pirates' faces. Pretty good lyrics, I think. Hi, MJ, what do you think?
Yeah, and I like the fact that he tells his life story. It's the progression through his music. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a terrific vehicle. Michael, thank you so much for sharing this with us. Why don't you make a comment on that last song, if you would, and then we'll get into your nonprofit work.
Certainly. And just so you know, obviously all my songs are my songs. It's my story. That is true. But it's also the collective stories of all the people that I have come to know and meet, you know, personally, professionally, through the internet, you know, the emails I get and the stories that people share with me. So even in that song, you know, and though your crew has abandoned the sails, because how many of us have had significant others and family members and people, you know, friends just abandon us because of what we're struggling with? So, but we can still turn it around. I still believe in that. So we find, you know, peers, you know, the peer support I find huge, and like-minded individuals just like all of us who are on this show tonight. And eventually you find a new family of friends, if you will, and a new crew to help you, you know, man your ship. But we're still the captain of our ship. I guess that's really what I'm just trying to say, that I'm acknowledging that life is hard and it's unfair, but we still can persevere, and there still is light and there still is joy at the end of that tunnel.
That's right. All right, let's bring on Jessica. You want to go next? You want to make a comment about what we just heard? Oh, let me open your mic. There we go. You're open.
I read it as a song of inspiration and message and hope.
Uh-huh.
That a lot of us survivors know that through all our traumatic experiences, there is hope. There is that light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And Carl, you want to make a comment too? I don't know if Carl is there.
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry, I had to be
okay. That's okay. I got you.
No, I'm just impressed. I'm definitely impressed with the music. I like the, like you say, Michael, it's a universal message that we've all gone through some of these things, and there's many feelings that we all share. So, like I say, I'm looking forward to the next segment that Bill's got planned for us to hear about how you work in some of the work that you're currently doing.
Right. And just so you know, this has been my mantra since I started as an advocate and all the rest of it back in the early 90s, everything that I do, whether it's, you know, speaking, writing songs, my interactions with other people, the website, I always go back to, is this offering hope? Is this offering healing? Are we helping people with that? So hope, healing, and help for me, that is huge. And that's how I truly do my level best to use that to help guide me.
And you've got quite a crew around you. Speaking of a crew, and these are people that I don't think will be abandoning you, so you've chosen your crew nicely. But by way of segue, let's all take a look at the well, first of all, I want to take a look at the nonprofit organization's website, which is survivingspirit.com. And you can explain a little bit about it. I'll make an attempt at saying that, you know, this is a you know, they say at the top that they want to promote hope, health, and healing and health to those who have been impacted by trauma, abuse, or mental health concerns with the use of creative arts. They also have a speakers bureau, a newsletter, a website, a brochure, a retail gallery, a coffee house, a media center, and more. And I know you people not only, you know, do the website, but you also go out and make appearances of different kinds and so forth. So if you would talk a little bit about the kind of people that are involved here, yourself included, I appreciate it. And you can take us to the website. We're looking at the website, survivingspirit.com.
Well, obviously there's no time right now, but you can see the Hope, Healing, Help. My dear friend Barbara posted that. She created the Surviving Spirit logo. The Surviving Spirit has been something in my back pocket, so to speak, something that I've long wanted to do since the early 90s, but I just wasn't in a place to do this. This has been a dream of mine, been going through all the turmoil that I've gone through, and I've tried to do it with other folks in different organizations. It just hasn't materialized. But then, you know, the crew that's on the board of directors, the advisory board, and then folks that aren't even listed here, just really good friends. A couple of years ago, I just said, it's time to do it. I'm in a better place. I feel that my health, I can actually do this. Because even though it's a nonprofit, it is a business. And I think you can see there's a lot to it. So the part of the vision is showing that it's to break down some of the stigma and discrimination around trauma, abuse, and mental health. And I for myself personally, I have found that the creative arts helps to open a lot of doors. So the idea is, well, geez, if we can show some art, maybe someone sharing their poetry, music, making crafts, all those things, and then, by the way, oh, this person has gone through hell and then some, that can help break down some of the stigma and the discrimination and in the mindset that people think, oh, once people have gone through these things, they can't do anything anymore. And I find that that's wrong, as obviously I'm preaching to the choir. Part of it also is not to just encourage those that want to do this in a professional application, and I really stress this a lot. Every one of us is creative in our own way, and people will say, oh, I'm not creative, I can't play an instrument, I can't. Yes, we are. Everybody is creative, and part of the surviving spirit is to help encourage folks to pursue whatever their creative muse is. If it's cooking, if it's planting flowers, if it's, you know, gardening, all, there's so many things that one can do that are creative, and darn it, that is such a powerful healing tool in our arsenal, if you will, to help in our healing journey. You know, and often, too many times, it's one of the first things that we neglect. And I understand when we're, you know, severely depressed, sometimes it's hard to do something that you love to do, but by hook or by crook, we really need to get back to that which brings us joy and happiness. And all of us, you know, I love hiking through the woods, just seeing the trees. You know, I'm one who loves planting flowers. Before the show started, I was out watering them to try to ground myself because I knew this was going to trigger some things. So I have flowers. I have a beautiful woods behind me. So those are healing things. And I you know, planting flowers to me is creative. I love to cook. You know, I have friends that can create crafts. And so, again, you don't have to do it professionally. And the other thing that, for years, I've been sending out this newsletter. It used to be called Survivor Friends and Friends of Survivors. Now it's called the Surviving Spirit Newsletter. And what I've been doing for years is I'll share 8 to 12 resources, and usually it's folks that are doing advocacy. Maybe they've just published a book. Maybe they just, you know, their art's being displayed somewhere. Or they're an organization. And part of it is to try to show folks that there are a lot of good people out there and organizations doing really good things, because I think sometimes we feel isolated and alone in this. And this website, you know, I think we're up to 64 or 65 countries now that have visited us. And this site just went online in the fall of 2010. So we're still only at the beginning of what we hope to accomplish with this. So there's just a lot of things that we're pursuing, and again, through the Speakers Bureau, through the web store, but at the end of the day, just showing that there's hope, healing, and help. And you can see the resources. We have a pretty extensive resource section, and there's still more to add. And I know, and part of this also came from my own website. When I set up my website years ago, I remember at one point it went over 1 million visitors, and so many of them, you know, they weren't all buying my songs. They were visiting because of all the resources that I posted. So, and my own site needs to be updated and upgraded, but the Surviving Spirit, to us, it's a good vehicle to help show that there is hope, there is healing, there is help, there's resources, and, you know, we continue to expand and grow, and we're always learning, and, you know, so this is, you know, I'm excited. This is a dream come true, and I am blessed to be working with some really great people.
Well, we're blessed to have you on our show. I'm going to open this up to Carl next because he had the most interest in this particular aspect of it. I'll ask him to comment. But I like the fact that you said that, you know, everybody's creative in different ways. And I agree with that. I believe we're all creative. Some of us have certain talents in certain areas. But when you really look at it, you know, cooking is a creative thing. Gardening is a creative thing. You know, some people can't do it, but some people can deal with children. You know what? That's creative. You know.
I agree.
Right. You know, you have writing, music, art, and different kinds of crafts listed under the resource page. But under the newsletters, you make the point that there are lots of unsung heroes of life who are doing things that are accomplishments and endeavors that really make a difference. And you say a way to offer hope, healing, and help to others. And that's being creative, too. So, Carl, why don't you take it up from here and make a comment about the nonprofit aspect of this?
Well, I just one thing that struck me there in the conversation, Michael, you've been doing this since fall of 2010, or set up the site in the fall of 2010?
We were putting it together in the summer, you know, but then in the fall was when it went online.
Okay.
We're still tweaking it, but officially the fall of, I think it was September, mid-September, that this site went online. Of 2000.
Any coinkadink with the Oprah show? Was that any kind of impetus behind it, or did you?
I think what she's doing is great and stuff, but no, I my energy was long before. I was just honored to be asked to be a part of it, but no. Nope.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you'd gotten your invite early enough that you kind of started to work together with us on that. I noticed on the tab of the news and events, in the Speakers Bureau, do you have engagements set up coming up anytime soon, anywhere we should know about, things like that?
I have some things in the fall. And I have found that the economy, it's affected a lot of the engagements, or even, you know, people wanting to hire me, because that's one of the things that we're really strong on. We don't believe in tokenism. We want folks who are out speaking, presenting, whatever they're doing, to be paid for it, for what they do, because, one, they're working, and they're working hard, and plus the fact that they're sharing about, you know, some really emotional, painful things, they should be getting paid. So right now, the economy's in doldrums. It's hard, but I always still work. You know, in the spring of this year, up until, I'd say, May, I was pretty busy. But I've also learned to scale back, and now pushing to get more of our own speakers into, you know, colleges and different things. So work is out there. It comes down to, you know, let's make a deal. You try to get X amount of dollars for someone to present. An organization may not have it, but this is why wanting to start the nonprofit, start going after funding sources, so maybe we could get some funding to set aside for some speakers to go into a college or a peer support center where maybe they don't have the money to pay for this, but if we had some money set aside from a grant, we could then do it. So that there's several reasons why we, you know, started the nonprofit.
Right, and I can certainly verify that nonprofit work is work.
It is
hard work.
Yes, you're right.
I serve on several boards, plus run a couple of nonprofits myself, and I work really hard at and as do the group of people that are on board with us tonight. Everybody here is involved in this particular nonprofit, and some of us in the community policing one, which I do as well. And Jessica Stevens comes on these shows every night. Jessica, I'm opening your mic now to let you have an opportunity to make a comment about the nonprofit aspect of the Surviving Spirit effort.
I think it's a wonderful thing you're doing, nonprofit. I'm lost for words here.
That's okay.
No, I am. I'm really happy of the road you're taking and the help that you're providing. I think this is something that if we continue in a positive look and keep moving forward, I think we can make this mission that we're on really huge, hopefully.
I agree.
Yeah.
So even becoming recently aware of what you folks are doing, trust me, your website and everything else will be posted as a resource. But as you know, there's only so many hours during the time of day to do these things. I did send this out in the newsletter, the blurb to this, and then I will post it again now that, you know, that it's archived. So, yeah, because letting folks know that there's a lot of us out there that are doing good things and trying to change better.
Right. Right, and we, you know, we want you to know that we're gonna, you know, we're gonna try and update things as you let us know what's going on with you and your group and so forth, and keep it current here. There's already, as you've probably seen, an article on the website that's fairly filled out about you, and there's a this show will be archived within about a half an hour of its completion. It goes becomes available for on-demand listening, and it'll never go away.
Cool.
So we'll, you know, that'll always be a resource for you as well, if it helps to have people refer them to the show. I want to give MJ Goings an opportunity to come on because she does the majority of the research that goes into our effort and has worked with me for 10 years on nonprofit efforts, so she certainly understands that it's work, that works in it every day. Hi, MJ.
Hello. Oh, it's not work. It's a pleasure.
Being nice, Michael.
He has me so brainwashed. No, you know, I'm glad to know that, you know, we'll be cross-referenced, so to speak, with Michael's site, and people can in turn use our site, find resources available, and hopefully find some things that they can use.
Right. We're just trying to be useful, Michael. We do, you know, we do publicize. We don't belong to anybody, but we participate with everybody. You know, we coordinate things as best we can so that everybody who we think is legitimate and viable and worthy, you know, usable, you know, to people who are suffering from the many issues of child abuse gets included. And as I say, we, you know, we're dealing with all three aspects of it: the prevention, the intervention, and then, of course, the recovery. And our primary focus is basically the recovery, but at the same time we want to use the fact that we have a vehicle, a couple of vehicles that are becoming popular, you know, just to talk about and educate the public on the size and scope of the problem, and get them involved too, of course.
Right, and just to back that folks know that another organization like yourself are doing some really good things. That's encouraging. That's uplifting, because I know for myself sometimes I do feel beat up from this. But then, you know, I find out about what you're doing, and I find out about another organization or maybe just an individual doing some stuff, and that really energizes me to help keep me going, because then you don't feel like you're so alone. And yeah, and so, again, there's just a lot of us doing some really good things. And I like the fact that, you know, if we're all collaborating and networking with each other, because this problem is too huge. And all of us, I think, have pieces of the puzzle, but we don't have the whole puzzle put together. And I think by this collaborating and coming together, you know, we'll get there.
Yeah, that's the sense of what we're trying to do, is be an umbrella organization. We have a lot of pieces, and we do try to organize them in such a way that if you're interested in recovery, you can go there. If you're interested in kind of the news of what's going on, you can go there. If you're interested in how to protect your children, you can go there, and so forth. But, you know, over time we'll learn how to do it better. But I agree with you. We are a community of people who have a variety of, you know, of approaches, but, you know, a common interest in trying to resolve some of the problems, the issues of what I think is, you know, of epidemic proportions, the problem with child abuse in America today. So that's our mission, you know.
And I agree. I, for myself personally, I think this is the largest, you know, epidemic, the silent epidemic that no one wants to talk about, but yet it impacts every facet of our lives. Everybody's life is affected by child abuse, but, you know, they stick their head, you know, into the sand, they sweep it under the rug. You know, so all of us, what we're trying to do is trying to raise awareness around it. But I also acknowledge, I understand it's a distasteful subject. No one wants to hear about it, but we need to hear about it to change it.
That's right. People don't want to hear about it. They hear too much about it. I know about it. I don't want to know. They don't want to know. You know, it is a distasteful subject, and it's hard to break through the denial that there's a need and the degree to which it's needed. But we're going to do the best we can, and we're happy to help you as well, and we know you'll help us. One of the things that's remaining is to allow people to call in. We still have 20 minutes or so left, so I'm going to announce the phone number, 646-595-2118, 646-595-2118. and remind people we also have a chat room if they'd like to come in there. But more importantly, we want them to call. So 646-595-2118, that's the phone number. And while they're doing that, or while we're waiting for possible calls, and otherwise we'll go around the horn again, I want to play one more song that I have here available. And I think this one's a great one. Some of the lyrics are, you need to pick up the keys to your dreams and the music of your life. It's a song that's called Songs for the Keys to Your Life, and it's from the Waiting for a Train album as well. So this is Michael Skinner's Song for the Keys to Your Life.
For example, interesting, you list famous people who have had
problems with mental health concerns and illnesses as one of the links on the site. And it's quite a list of people. My goodness.
Yeah.
People don't understand the depth of these kinds of problems and how they really affect so many people. I don't want to make that the focus of this segment, but I wanted to mention that there's a lot of information on this site. And, of course, the focus is Michael's music. And this is where you can read some of the lyrics. You can order the CDs. You can order, I think, for 99 cents a cut. I think you can download them and so forth. There's also in the, on the front page of this an additional song. I couldn't figure out how to get the music on the web, on the radio show, but I want to point it out to people so they can listen to it for themselves. It's a very nice song, Brush Away Your Tears. And unfortunately, I couldn't figure out how to upload it since it's a YouTube thing, you know. But it's there, and it's also in the article that I prepared for you on the NASCA website. So there's a couple of places that people can reach it and listen to the song. It's a very nice song, very good song. Maybe you want to talk about the song. You obviously did the song acoustically, this particular version, although there is a studio version elsewhere. But this one was done acoustically during the time you did a kind of a talk show, it seems, right?
Correct. That's exactly what it was. It was a cable show and being interviewed. And so I used, you know, that song to pretty much cut to the chase. But Brush Away Your Tears, it's encouraging those who've been hurt as children and also today's children on how to find ways to reach inside to get through it, because right now we can't undo what's going on, but you can get through this. So again, it's acknowledging that yes, it's difficult and there's pain going on in your life right now, but you will find a way to persevere and not only survive, but the key is, you know, finding a way to thrive. So
exactly. So we recommend that, and all the music you can look on the links across the top will take you to, for example, the music link will take you to the different albums and list the songs on the albums. And I think if you click on, as I did it, you can click like I did on any of the songs, and you can hear at least a little bit of the song, and you can read some of the lyrics, a lot of them. And so this is where you'd go to listen to more of Michael's music, and of course to download some music as well, or buy the album.
Because my songs are on iTunes and stuff, so I do okay with that. So that's exciting. So, and it's exciting for me on many levels. One is a musician to be able to do that, but also the simple fact that, you know, back in the early 90s, I was told I would never amount to anything basically again. So I've got 3 CDs out. I can honestly say that I've sold my CDs in every state of this country, you know, Canada, parts of South America, and many parts of the world. So that's basically showing that we who've gone through these horrific things can still do many wonderful things. And it doesn't mean you have to go out and try to be a musician and sell CDs, but we're all capable of doing wonderful things in our lives. And that's really, at the end of the day, that's what I try to say.
That's fantastic. All right, we're going to come back to the phones. And Carl, I guess you're at the top of the list here to make a comment about the music or anything you'd like. Carl?
Well, I'd like to echo what he just said, that I think that all of us, even though we have been wounded, if you want to call it that, or victimized back when we were children, we do all have a purpose and we do all can accomplish something in our lives. And I know that one of my major goals, and that's why I'm on the show on a regular basis, is to raise awareness, do what I can to reach out to others. That I sat on my secret for 35 years, and, 32 years, and then 31 years, and I've come out about it and started working on my recovery. And if I can reach out and if I can reach one or two people and get them involved in trying to work on themselves, whether through with my help or just realize that there's others out there that are like that. One of the things that we all go through is that we're the only one feeling. By being on the radio and talking about this, spreading the word like Michael does through music, and through his newsletter and the Surviving Spirit newsletter and all. It does more and more to show the world that there are others out there, that you're not alone, and that we can all accomplish something. We can put our minds to it, and as long as we keep working, we'll have a, hopefully, and I know you said, Michael, earlier, that you don't think it'll happen within your lifetime, but I think it's starting to happen in our lifetimes, and maybe we can eradicate this problem sometime sooner than later.
I hope so.
We all hope so, and we're going to do whatever we can to make our own contribution. But, you know, it's an interesting concept. The song we just heard talks about how, sometimes you have a sense of the keys to your life, and you let go of them. You know, and because, you know, obviously these things that have happened to us are traumatic. But part of the message that you're saying within the same song is that you can pick those keys back up, and you can start using them in a different way, a positive way again, even if you've lost them once before. Because you don't lose your talents and who you are. You don't lose the core of you. But you may need to work to get back to it, but you don't really lose the core of you. At least that's my opinion.
No, I want to thank you that you get it. That's what the song is saying. So this is a key song, if you will, no pun intended, that I use in my presentations, you know, pretty much echoing that yes, acknowledging you've gone through some pretty horrible things and life's been unfair, it's hard and all the rest of it, but deep inside you, you still have the keys to your life, and you sung the songs of the keys to your life, and you know, it's time to acknowledge that, and darn it, why? Because you deserve it. You deserve a happier, healthier life.
Oh. Very good. And Jessica, you deserve a happier, healthy life, and you're picking up the keys right now, huh?
Yes. I've been saying that all along. You know, we've suffered enough, and we, you know, we're a part of this world, and we are entitled to live happy, healthier lives in this world, because it's a world we need all to share. And Michael, you are sending a beautiful message, and I was reading your little thing here under the Trains of Tears that about the bumper sticker that you saw that says it shouldn't hurt to be a child,
right?
And that is so true. And I'm really honored to have met you, and I welcome you on behalf of everybody too, being part of our family. And I really hope to see more and more of you, because this is a message we strongly believe that needs to get out there, and every one of us needs to get that message, and hopefully it'll stick sometime.
It will. Thank you.
In fact, tomorrow night we're going to do the theme of tomorrow night's show is going to be kind of like that. It's basically on the topic of, you know, what do you do for children. Jessica has collected a whole bunch of articles that we're going to use as the topic for tomorrow night's show. And maybe it is from that bumper sticker that, you know, it shouldn't hurt to be a child. All right, MJ, why don't you give us a final word, if you would. I appreciate it. You still with us? There we are.
Yeah, I had to leave the chat room. But one thing that I thought was, you know, you talk about being a positive influence. I think just in the short few months that we've done this show, we have had proof that you, Jessica, Carl, everybody that's called in, it's made an impact. You know, it's working. Maybe not as fast as we want it to work, but it is working, and the word is getting out there. I mean, I see that daily. You know, when I'm going through and looking for articles and so on, people are concerned. People are hearing that there is a huge problem worldwide, and they're starting to take notice. So it's working. Just we don't have that magic bullet that Carl wants, but... But I think truly some advances are being made.
I agree, and I can pretty much almost guarantee you have a lot of listeners, but the silent listeners, because you know there's still a lot of hurt, there's fear, there's shame that keep, but people do listen in on these shows, but they still haven't found their voice yet. But the good news is they're tuning in, they're listening, and you're offering them a vehicle to help raise their voice at some point in time.
Well, in a certain sense, Michael, we're still trying to find our voice. I mean, as I say, I've been in recovery a long time, and I've worked with many, many people, both privately and in small groups over that period of time. But to go public is new for me and for all of us, you know, and what we want to do is be as effective as possible. So we're trying to devise, you know, vehicles, as you say, that are the most appropriate and most, you know, most comfortable and can carry our voices, carry the voice of our message as best we can. And we believe this radio show may be part of that. And, you know, we are encouraged by the following that we've acquired through Facebook primarily and also within the Blog Talk community itself. And we have to find some other ways to spread it out a little more. But they're all available as podcasts, as will be your show in about an half an hour from now. And we are just delighted that you have joined us and that we want you to, and as Jessica would say over and over, we want you to consider yourself now a part of the family.
And I'll diddle that right back to you folks. And I do see us staying in touch and networking and collaborating, because I'll also be more than glad to share resources and contacts of some really incredible people that I think highly of that would also do great on your show. So, and just all kinds of things, and just letting others know of what you're doing. So I'm all about sharing the information. So,
absolutely, absolutely. All right, well, we're going to conclude with a reprise of the song that I started with. Now that people are used to listening to your music, Michael, I think it would only be fair for them to have one more chance to listen to the song Joy, because the song Joy, you know, well, it says it in the name, you know, that's what it's about. There's joy in knowing I'm still around. There's joy in knowing that I still care. There's joy in knowing that you're still there. And so we want to end on that uplifting thought and let people hear the song one more time, maybe listening a little more closely. And as the song resolves, the show will end. Although those people who are listening in the chat room, it'll cut off. It will continue to record until the end of all of us that hang up, and I won't hang up, but of course, until the music's over. So, Michael, thank you so much for joining us, and we will have you back another time. We'd love to.
Thank you, folks.
All right. This, then, is one more time a reprise of a song we heard at the top of the show, but to give you a chance to hear it again, this is, again, from Waiting for a Train. It's an upbeat song, not upbeat, not oddly. It's upbeat, and it's called Joy. There's joy in knowing. Michael Skinner from Waiting for a Train.
Wonder, laugh.
laugh out loud. No more secrets I've let them out. There's tears from laughter and it's time to shout. There's joy in knowing still around. There's joy in knowing still around. I'm so glad you're still around. Thanks for sharing, not kicking me down. Something so simple, yet it's so profound. A life to live, a life to give. Your hand held out. There's a life to live and a life to give. Your hand held out.
Blog Talk Radio.